Normally, I have picked something up that is stuck in my heart for a while, and then when it comes to my turn, here we are. Here's something I prepared earlier. This week, we have a different situation. So I was, and I'm sure it was all in hand from on high, we just needed to connect with that plan, but I was like, well, if my friend doesn't come shooting with me, then I can pray while I go in the car. So I do that on a Friday night. And that's usually a good time for me while I'm driving to connect. Nobody else is around, and you don't really need to pay that much attention to the road, so you're just driving along, spraying away. I do keep my eyes open, so just and I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm coming to you. Our journey is together has brought me to this place where now, this is something that we're going to do, and so now I'm looking to you for it. And it's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And then as I was saying that, the phrase sort of changed in my head to, what can I bring? I was like, okay, Lord, well, I mean, I assumed I was going to say something, but I suppose that isn't necessarily what we're going to do. Let's not be presumptuous here. What can I bring? And I just sat with that. What can I bring? What can I bring? And then I was like, penny drop. Oh, this is what you want me to talk about, is what can I bring, rather than, So that's where we are. So I don't think I have ever bought a 3-point preach before. And Claire mentioned that, and I was like, I've got 3 points. So this is the first time. So the way, the what I want to share and what I think I've been led through now is, what can I bring? And that as a context to church, an element of what we shouldn't bring to each other, and an element of what can I bring as I go out to everywhere that isn't church. So we're gonna look. I've got quite a few Bible verses, which is relatively unusual for me. So we're gonna start off in Matthew 26. I'm not going to play them to you. I'm going to go old school. We're going to read them. Verse 6 to 13. So this is about perfume, kind of. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany, the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, why criticize this woman who's doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume over me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, whenever the news is preached, the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And here we are, remembering and discussing. So the Bible is absolutely full of, particularly the New Testament, little nuggets and little things that we can take. We can learn so much about who we are in Christ, who we are under this covenant that Jesus has made for us. And often when we take these stories, they can be applied literally, or sometimes the message behind them can be applied to different contexts. So that's kind of what I'm gonna take today. So when we're talking about what we can bring, a lot of these examples have a sort of monetary value. But that's not going to be the exclusive sort of iteration for us today. It's about a heart attitude and an authenticity to what we want to bring. And this woman has been stirred by her conviction over what she's doing, and she's bought something of great value and poured it out. And that has been honored by Jesus. And her motive is entirely and completely pure. Now, it doesn't really tell us how much of a proportion of what she has in the world she has poured out, but she's given something that has had great meaning, and it has had great authenticity behind it, and it's been blessed, and Jesus really honors that. So while we kind of relate that back into what we are bringing and thinking about. I think that one of the things that really spoke to me from this is that complete sort of buy-in and authenticity and understanding that what we bring has no, it's just sacrifice, it's just an outgiving that she's not really getting anything back from. So I thought this notion of pouring this out, there was a financial cost to her, but that what she has bought has been that sort of authentic gift. So that was the first bit. Now we're going to move, and we're going to go to, where are we going to go to? Mark, not far along. And we're going to read Mark 12, 41 to 44, which is here. So Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, watched the crowds dropping in their money. Many rich people put large amounts, and a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than these others who are making contributions, for they give a tiny part of their surplus, but she is poor, and she has given everything she had to live on. So she has given everything. And this is an interesting thing to mull over. And I think that sometimes I have experienced the thoughts of almost a fear of being asked to do that. And that comes from praying about whether we should be missionaries and go and live somewhere else I don't really want to live. Literally the way that we hold our finances in our minds and the sort of, how will I eat if I give everything away? And I remember that Billy Akani came here once, a long time ago, and he stood and he said, he preached about giving up assets in order to get access. And he was talking about how he didn't have many material things and he didn't want those because he wanted all his focus to be on the Lord. The Lord is his provider. And that has stuck with me for a very long time. And we were thinking the other day about this notion of standing at the front and how sometimes you forget 99% of what anyone ever preaches to you. But this message that he spoke has found a place and I will probably never forget it. And I think there's an element of which he's absolutely right. But then an element, if you take it literally, when I don't really think he's right, because you don't have to be poor to have connection and relationship with God. But I think the key to what Billy was saying about having nothing to get access and looking at this lady and the perfume, we've got it's how we hold it. So she has been prepared to put everything she had in the jar. And she has seen that that is more important to her than keeping some back for herself. And to have the concept of what is and isn't, what you are and are not able to bring yourself, I think we have to sort of balance where we put our value, and are we holding something back? And if we're holding something back, just ask yourself why. What are we doing with that? And then the other thing I've recently been thinking about is the concept of sacrifice. And you think, well, I'm holding on to my, that sometimes following God has a worldly cost to it. And I think I flip in my way I sort of process that between, is it really a sacrifice? Because everything that I really want is available from my Heavenly Father. But then it feels like a sacrifice because I've got things, and things make me comfortable, and I enjoy things. But I think the way that we hold our things, and regardless of what that is, that will be different for everybody, is sort of where that comes into what Billy was saying with, do we have our assets or our access? Well, but I think they're not exclusive, but how we hold them is key to that ability to to sort of bring something of meaning. And then I don't necessarily think we need to read it, but we will. In Acts 5, there's sort of a fairly harsh example of not doing that authenticity. So it's 1-5. But there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife, some name, sold some property. He bought part of the money with the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. And Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit. You kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not. Sell as you wish. And after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You aren't lying to us, but to God. And as soon as Ananias heard this, these words, he fell on the floor dead. So, there is a cost. But I'm not expecting you to fall down dead. Or myself. But I thought that played in kind of nicely to that authenticity. Like, God is not requiring us to give everything away, or but let's just be honest about what we've got, what we're giving, where it comes from, how important that is to us, where that sort of balance of where we put our what we hold back and like pretend about and things like that. So I think that does all kind of talk about money and monetary value, but I think let's take away money and put in time, put in effort, put in getting up early. And I think I would encourage, like, what can you bring to church? Are there ways that you are not serving that you could serve? And what would your motivation be for that? Don't do it because we think we need things, but do it, go to God, hear that, hold it in a kind of authentic way. And, you know, we do have gaps in the things that we physically do on a Sunday that are tiring some of us out. Like, can you bring more? But bring it in a way that means something to you. Don't fake it. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. But I would encourage you to, go on that journey with God on that. So that was that. That's been. So now the next place where I want to go is to look about, and this is something that has been on my heart for a little while, but and we're going to Romans, I think. Romans 4. About how we interact with each other. Because I am often touched by how Paul writes. He's writing, and he is the lengths he is willing to go to make sure that other people's journeys are not knocked off course by the actions and the words that we bring and the things that we do. And I think this is really important. And he's talking about the unity in a church, and there are a great number of people that have been on a walk with God that have been knocked off course because of things Christians have said. And I think it's touched me a few times as I've been reading through or listening through the New Testament. I was quite touched and noticed that when Sue brought what she did a few weeks ago, there was a part of her journey that was challenged by somebody speaking something that wasn't helpful. So I want to read this bit with you, and then just talk about that quickly, about what we shouldn't bring to each other. So it's Romans 14:14-23. I know, and I am convinced on the authority of the Lord, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone else, someone for whom Christ died. And then you will be criticized for doing something that you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is no matter for what we eat or drink, but for living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try and build each other up. So verse 17, for the kingdom of God is no matter of what we eat or drink, but for living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Sorry, sniffing into the microphone. So food, that, you know, that's talking into the context that it was written into, with the law being clean animals and all of this. For me, to be honest, the food is quite a relevant topic. Some people choose to eat differently, and sometimes those views overlay with a very outspoken opinion on what I do for a living. So I interact with that. So this is quite relevant, like literally directly for me. But I think if you take out food and you could put in alcohol, drugs, sex, money, any topic, it is not our job as believers to be criticizing and speaking into other people. God is on a journey with these people. They have a connection to God. He will take them on their journey at their time. We are to journey, living in goodness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. We are there to love each other and to bring support and connection and commune with people. And I do believe that we will be one of the houses of God that welcomes in the prodigals. A lot of those people that I have interacted with have been hurt by people. So I think this is something that we need to be challenged by, conscious of, not in fear of, but listen to our consciousness about that. Let other people's journey be their journey, and let God do what God's going to do, and we will do what we are called to do. And yeah, we can be a place that people come and experience God as he wants to be, rather than somewhere where people come and get hurt. So there's something that, yeah, there's a few places. I mean, the lengths that Paul went to, I mean, he even, you know, talks about so it's an extreme thing for him as he goes through the, and you know, there's so many great things in the Bible, but we don't need to do that. So we're going to leave that there before it digresses any further. Last Bible verse. We are going to Acts again, and this time it's Acts 3, verse 1 to 10. So this is about going out. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service, like good Christians. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in each day and put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "We don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up, walk." And Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed, strengthened, and jumped up and stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Then, walking, leading up, praising God, he went into the temple with them. And the people saw him walking around and him praising God. And then they realized he was the beggar from outside that they had seen often at the Beautiful Gate, and were absolutely astonished. It's broken into two things. It's like, that's not a word. So, I told you I'm dyslexic, it's tricky. So what we've got to carry out is the name of Jesus into the communities. And I was thinking about sort of paraphrasing that in the language that we have been speaking here, but we've got two boys with their burning lights, and they're going out and they're taking Jesus into the community, and it's having an effect, and not only having an effect on the person who was healed, but it's having an effect on the people around him, and this is a sort of ripple effect of what's happening. And so as we sing, "What can I bring?" it's in here and it's out, and obviously we know that we have a powerful, wonderful God. We have a resurrection story to tell people that can change and transform. And you know, there's so many keys to how many different ways and how much authority and how much of a birthright and how chosen we are through the New Testament. There's so many just hints and clues and little gifts of knowledge that we can pick up and build our identity, that we know that we've become Christ carriers, and that, you know, if we believe that that is the light that the world needs, then that is what we absolutely can take out into the world with us every day in a very powerful way. One of the things I'm trying to do is pray more that I would notice the opportunities when I can inject a little bit more of that into my interactions and see some of that sort of light that I know I'm carrying effect. And I'm sure it happens without me knowing, but I'm looking for those opportunities where I can have those conversations or I can love those people in different ways and show that, because I want to be that Christ carrier that really affects where I go for that reason. So those are my 3 points. And my 5 Bible verses. So there we go.